Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the stolen and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. You can keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/cjsfradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I am DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star. Thank you so much for joining us today. I think we're just going to get straight into the music, but we do have a very interesting conversation topic coming up, and you guys should definitely stay tuned till then. We are at Tuesdays every week at 6 p.m., and
yes.
The first song that you're going to hear is Losing Control by Habibi.
Enjoy.
Nuggets with a focus on Canadian players, singers, and pickers. That's Roots and Berries, Fridays over the noon hour, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of a community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby, and you're tuning in to Slumber Party. I am DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco.
And you just heard Starstruck by Sorry. And before that, you heard Entrainment by Works. And before that, you heard Happy You Exist by Tori. And the next song coming up is going to be Begonia with
Get to You.
Get to You. So
enjoy.
Please enjoy.
I can only show you what I am. Passing notes in every glass, and my glass is never full.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I am DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco. So we're going to get into our little discussion here. And just to start off, this was inspired by having a nice talk with our programming coordinator, Robin. And I feel like we both took away a couple pretty key points from the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about Slumber Party itself and our role of how we think we're perceived by the air and all and for you listening out there as well.
And so, how we present ourselves,
yeah,
too.
Oh yeah, for sure. So you might have noticed if you do listen to us, we do giggle a lot.
We do have that
yeah.
habit for sure.
And it's not necessarily bad, but it's something that we want to or take more control over. And as well, saying things like, I don't know, or us being really unsure and kind of
too
surrendering.
Yeah, definitely. I think this goes for us, but also a lot of women out there is just being very self-deprecating in some scenarios to alleviate anybody feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of women do that.
Yeah, so we think that this conversation was definitely indicative of our gender socialization and why we're giggling and why we're saying, I don't know, and saying these
even
kind
if
of things.
We do know, I think a lot of you, like, you can out there relate. At least I have said so many times something that I know for sure and then been like, I don't know, what do you think though? And it's just something that completely undermines what I just said.
Yeah, and it's that submissive behavior that mm-hmm. we use to try to undermine ourselves in the conversation to make us seem more people-pleasing and just more...
just like palatable.
Palatable, yeah, I'd mm-hmm. say.
And also, in terms of language, I think women tend to use a lot more filler words, like things like that, because I think it's kind of stemming from the idea that we don't want to be interrupted, so we just kind of constantly have to fill up space while we're talking to get our point across.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin was also talking to us about the power of just thinking to yourself and pausing and taking a moment to really center what you want to say before you just throw it all out there.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that especially women can tend to do, but I think this mm-hmm. goes for everyone as well.
Yeah, being comfortable with silence is definitely something that men and women struggle with. But I feel like particularly women, I've met a lot of chatty, talkative women who use a lot of filler words. And not saying that's anything bad mm-hmm. or anything, but that may be something from socialization.
Yeah, it's definitely, these kind of things aren't bad. They're not negative necessarily. But if you use those kinds of techniques to dodge certain situations that feel like you're getting put up for judgment, because saying I don't know at the end makes it seem like, okay, you can't really say anything against it because I said I don't know.
Yeah. And it doesn't make you look bad that you've got it wrong or it ended up your answer being wrong because you said I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there is this fear of getting ostracized or feeling like you're under more scrutiny as a woman with any kind of opinion or actually any fact that you say.
Mm-hmm.
So just saying I don't know or giggling after to, yeah, like ease the tension.
Yeah, this goes into play with the more feminine and masculine traits of being perceived as more dominating in the conversation if you feel sure of yourself. So just a little step back here. I just wanted to clarify that we are talking about gender socialization under the understanding that it's the learning of social expectations, attitudes, and behaviors associated with men and women and boys, for boys and girls, particularly for children. So some things for women like us, we've kind of been conditioned to be more submissive and impressible a bit. Also creative mm-hmm. too, I feel like more creative. Creativity and intuitiveness is more feminine, and being emotional and nurturing. Meanwhile, masculine is being dominant, assertive, logical, focused, and protective. These are not a black and white thing. Not every man is going to be dominant, assertive, logic, and not every woman's going to be like this. But in general, I feel like society kind of not strives for, but aspires for the ideal mm-hmm. woman, especially in media, for women to be very feminine with these traits and yeah. men to be more masculine with these traits. And it plays into the way we speak, too, of women. We're trying to be submissive in conversations.
Yeah. And just going a bit further with this idea of feminine being docile, nurturing, and then masculine being more dominant, assertive, like these are just kind of ways to uphold the gender norms in a way. Like, it doesn't, at least in my opinion, I don't think these are necessarily broadly applicable, because it definitely serves the like housewife and breadwinner kind of dynamic that we're actually growing away from more and more.
Yeah, which is good.
It's good, but there's things about that too that are have some problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to say, like, this definition of gender is not static. Like, it's not gonna forever, like, this is just how people perceive, like, the two different sides of gender, I guess. And not that there's even to say two different sides, but I just want to say that it's always changing. And then this
yes.
is just kind of helping, trying to keep society kind of functioning, I mm-hmm. guess. But it can be detrimental.
Yeah. Yeah, because traditionally, women had to be more feminine. But now, women can be more masculine and have more masculine traits and be their own boss.
Yeah, but I think
more accepted than before.
Yeah,
I'd say.
I kind of disagree with just this whole notion of having feminine or masculine energy, because it doesn't make any sense to me thinking that, oh, well, like, women can have more masculine energy when it's just their women who have these traits. It doesn't necessarily
yeah.
mean it's masculine energy. Like, it's still putting people in a binary and associating femininity with this. Like, it's very decisive in that.
Yeah, that they're boxed in traits with gender, but gender shouldn't be taken into consideration.
Yeah, and then just kind of throwing it away with the word energy. It's not really tied to gender, but it still is, which bothers me.
Yeah, like, that's something that I feel we should move away from. Even though mm-hmm. I have to mention that there may be a little bit of biology behind feminine and masculine mm-hmm. traits, not fully for sure. I'd say that these are more of a social construct than as much that biology would take over. But because back in the Stone Age, I've got to bring it back to the Stone Age. The men, I think we all know that the men were probably out hunting and they were out trying to protect the family and things like that. And these traits were more associated with dominance and being assertive and making decisions, while the woman would usually stay inside, take care of the kids. And this has been going around for centuries and centuries that we can't just stop now. Yeah, I don't know how to further go about that, but a little mm-hmm. more research into that.
And it is relative as well to different cultures and those different gender roles in those cultures. And it's not like strictly men have been hunting and women have been
mm-hmm.
childbearing. And, well, I mean, yeah, childbearing, but I mean more like
yeah.
caring.
I mean, I haven't seen
caring.
A man give birth yet, so.
Yeah, like caring for children. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with this, but yeah, I'm just trying to say that gender.
Yeah.
Roles are still like evolving and changing.
But there's also the point that is this really bad? Do you believe that gender socialization is bad, and that should we shame women who want to be feminine and men who want to be masculine?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because personally, I find that sometimes when I'm thinking about just other girls, or if I see someone on social media and it's a girl who's very feminine, she likes getting her nails done, things like that, I'm like, oh, well, she's just shallow and she just wants to look good and things like that, and she's not out trying to study hard in school and things like that. But is that really bad that a woman would like to be feminine and do these things that enjoy, that make her happy? And It's tricky. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really complicated because, yeah, it might make her happy, but it is partially socialized
mm-hmm.
into women in general to gain confidence or gain some sort of self-worth from how they look. So yeah, like doing makeup, doing your nails, all these kind of ways to upkeep yourself and look good they give you a positive feedback loop is what they do. Even like you're gonna like it because you're getting
positive results.
Exactly. Like they're saying, wow, you're so beautiful, your nails are amazing, this and this and this. Like that is what people notice about women a lot, and what they always talk about with women. I think it's always surrounding beauty in some way.
Yeah, and not that beauty is bad, but compared to more masculine traits, or not masculine, but traits of being confident and being logical and things like that, I feel like those are more important, not important traits, but those are more quality traits that we as a human species should all strive towards, not just being kind of shallow and focusing on just on looks that can fade away.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not necessarily advocating for a woman not wanting to feel beautiful or like beauty, like that's just beauty isn't important. Like obviously beauty is important, but going back to socialization a bit, I was having a conversation with one of my friends a while ago just about he was a guy, and I was asking him like about his insecurities and stuff, and all of them kind of surrounded his abilities to do things. There was nothing to do with how he looked or stuff like that. And I think pretty much every woman I know, or so many women I know, including myself, could write you like a full essay of all of their physical insecurities before they even get to their insecurities about their abilities. So in that aspect, gender socialization is pretty bad. And that's just one kind of example. And I think there's a lot of socialization that goes into disempowering women, especially with how we're taught to be people pleasers and not stand up for ourselves a lot, just because, you know, you don't want to impede on anybody.
That's interesting to know. I didn't, especially the insecurity about him and his capabilities. Was it more about wanting to be smarter and wanting to be more
like,
productive?
If he was good at basketball or things like that.
Yeah, meanwhile. Yeah, because most girls I talk to are not more ability-wise, but it's something that they'd like to change about themselves, or maybe their arms are not skinny enough, or their face is crooked in some sense.
And honestly, it is framed as shallow a lot, women caring about how they look. But in my mind, I don't think it's shallow, because if that's what is kind of conveyed to us, is if that's something that's really valuable about us is how we look, we're gonna want to upkeep that and meet those expectations. So I don't think it's shallow necessarily. It's just
something that's
expected of us, so we want to deliver.
Yeah, at a young age, being socialized and being told that this is extremely important and you should take care of yourself and you should upkeep yourself, and we will value you based on how you look. And so we all grow up with that. And it is a big problem that we individually are not, we're not capable of fixing it ourselves. But it's something to be aware of, that it's not bad to be caring about our looks and feeling shallow. It's just that it's a bigger socialization.
It's a structural
problem
issue
going out here. So that's nice to know. It's nice to know that you're not alone, especially, I feel.
It is nice to know you're not alone, but it's also kind of depressing to know other people, other women are feeling like this. And I think people love to criticize women who also are criticizing the patriarchy or any kind of gender socialization, and they're like, hey, you're still shaving your legs, or you're still doing your makeup, you're still participating in this kind of society that you're critiquing. But and they like, people can say it's hypocritical. It's just really hard to break the cycle when
they're labeled as psychos and...
Yeah, like, it's more like it's hard to break this cycle when humans are just generally... What's the word?
Conditioned?
Like, they don't want to step out of, like, any kind of norms because they might... Like, it's not safe there. Yeah, you don't want to, like, rebel as much. Like, you don't want to push against certain things because it keeps you safe. Yeah, in the status quo. Mm-hmm. And it keeps you safe in society. And breaking a lot of these gender norms can have negative things. So it feels safer just to keep playing into them. But you can still acknowledge that what is happening is wrong. And, like, there are ways to combat that, for sure. Like how we were talking about, just the way that we express ourselves and the way that we talk is, can be changed.
Right. Yeah. Starting just small and things like that, and just spreading personal experiences as well is something that each one of us can do to kind of show the issue at hand and just spread some light on it. Because the first step of always finding a problem is just identifying the problem itself before addressing it. So at least we're at step one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not too fond of the whole gender socialization and kind of getting the short end of the stick being obsessed more with the looks. And I personally would rather care more about my abilities and wanting to become a better person through my capabilities. But no.
Yeah, the thing is also we've been talking about beauty as this kind of value, but it's not even a value, honestly. It's something that is attributed more to an object than a person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even like, at least we have this, like, at least we have our beauty. Like, it's not like that. Women are objectified all the time, not even treated as humans a lot, and... That's a pretty negative effect of, you know, gender socialization.
And I feel that women who are also not traditionally beautiful or pretty, that's not a good end of the stick as well, kind of going off that. Because I think most people would agree that they'd rather be very beautiful over being very ugly. Mm-hmm. But in our socialization, our gender socialization expectations... I feel like being an ugly woman specifically is very detrimental.
It's almost like the most embarrassing thing you can be.
Very embarrassing. Same with men who are not as capable. Not as capable, but on the slower side or on the not as intelligent side. And they're also ostracized. And
I feel like they can ostracize other people, though, still. Like,
they still have other things that could probably uplift them. But that's saying for both ends of the sticks. It's not just those kind of people.
There definitely are two sides to it.
Yeah, because there's so many other things you can work on, because this is just the broad overview of socialization. Like, there's...
Yeah, and just how we feel, because we're a woman, we can talk on it. And obviously, there's things
that
men go through, like... I don't know.
Yeah, they go through stuff.
Yeah, they go, like, not feeling like you can cry or, like, express yourself. Like, those are also things that are negative about gender socialization on men's side. But it is, I think, a bit more...
easier for...
Like, I think... I don't know. I'm not going to compare right now, but...
Yeah, comparing... There's no... I don't think there should be any comparison. It's just equally bad, especially if you don't fit into the expected roles.
But I don't know if it's equally bad.
No.
That's what I was going to make a comparison, saying
we'll
that
move
one
on
is worse
from,
than the other. But
before we say anything we don't want
to
say.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I also, on that subject, we're not on the subject anymore, but we were, how DJ Coco was asking me, should we shame women who are more traditionally feminine? We talked about that. I definitely don't think we should shame women. But there are certain things. Like, how about women who play into gender roles so that men will like them? Like, pretending to act dumb or clueless and just kind of perpetuating this harmful narrative themselves.
Right, of being very...
Of just being, like, positioning yourself as inferior.
And
mm-hmm.
So it's the more negative qualities of feminine traits and projecting them so men will
not
like
them.
Not
even feminine traits, just trying to, like, make yourself look kind of unexperienced or...
Because I would say that acting clueless is a very extreme form of being impressible.
Which what do you is mean impressible?
More, impressible, I believe, is one of the more feminine considered. When I research a little online, whenever I search up feminine traits, impressible is one of them.
Do you mean impressionable?
Impressionable? Yeah, probably. Okay, sorry. Okay, I can't speak English.
I see what you mean.
Yeah,
very
influenced, easily influenced.
Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
I feel like is acting clueless or dumb is similar to... Not mm-hmm. very similar, but an extreme form of being
it
easily
is an
influenced.
Form. And to make the man feel better about himself. So he'll like that feeling and then like you.
Yeah. So then he'll feel more masculine and I feel assertive. I feel dominant in this conversation mm-hmm. because you are acting so clueless.
Yeah.
No. I personally do not like that whatsoever.
Yeah. But then it's how far can you stretch the argument where it's just, it's just a positive feedback loop. Like, she's only doing this because it's giving her benefits, but it is also kind of disadvantaging, like, all women.
All women for doing that?
Yeah, like,
yeah, don't you're setting us all back.
You're, like, stupider or anything, like, or lesser.
Yeah.
Just to appeal. Like, it's, you're, like, giving up a part of yourself just. But it's easy to say because I don't feel like I do this. I might do this in different ways to get men to like me.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just one thing. If we're talking about women playing a role in their own disempowerment, and I don't know, like, if this is the right subject to really focus on. Like, it's not the biggest issue that we're facing, but
mm-hmm. it's just something to notice,
something to think about and notice, especially if you do it out there. Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, it's not true to you. But then you could also say the same thing about makeup. Like, this isn't how women look, but you're
true.
Naturally, but you're still do like.
But maybe, yeah, it's probably.
And I wear makeup, so.
Yeah, yeah, me too. It's mm-hmm. probably feeling insecure about the other aspects of their life that they feel that all they have to give is making a man feel better for themselves.
Maybe,
is
I
what
don't
I,
know.
I feel like. Yeah, it's just a lack of other qualities, so they have to feed into the ones that they can do that will get them attention.
Maybe. But maybe they have all these qualities and they're still just
still acting,
lessening themselves. I'm not sure. Mm.
I've never met anyone like that particularly, mm-hmm. so I wouldn't know too much, but there are definitely probably people out there who try to do that. But
yeah.
But
anyways.
Moving on. Yeah, anyways, from that, would you notice any socialization in your own life, or do you feel that you are a product of social?
You go first, though.
Yeah, I had stuff to say with this because I feel like I'm a prime example of gender socialization. Not unfortunately, it's just something that I'm aware of now.
Everyone is a result of socialization
kind. So, for being a woman. My grandparents really pushed me into, when I was younger, they're both Korean. And so in South Korea, beauty standards are extremely high. Plastic surgery is one of the most normalized places in the world for South Korea. And so as a young age, I was always emphasized on, how cute DJ Coco looks, or like
DJ Coco is looking so pretty today.
I know, it's like be like, oh, he looks so beautiful in the picture and stuff like that. And as well, it's just reinforcing the fact that I felt that I had to keep uptaking my appearance from a young age because it would impress my grandparents, and that's all I wanted to do was like make my grandma feel happy.
You just want that validation.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my grandma's happy when I wear a nice dress, or when I maybe brush my hair. I'm like, okay, so maybe I'll just keep doing that. And so that's socialization.
Yeah, right there.
Right there. And same with, they also wanted me to be smart as well, like go to a great school and have aspirations and things. But that was the one thing that really kind of stuck with me. And still, to this day, my grandma's still like, oh, I love your dress. Oh, you look so pretty today. And I feel terrible if she doesn't tell me I look pretty if I come see her. And it's things like that that are continuing to my 20 years of age that I'm still kind of insecure because I want my grandma to tell me that I look good.
Yeah, it sounds like a compliment a lot of the time, but then it never feels that good when you get it, but the absence of it is devastating.
Exactly.
Sometimes, yeah.
Do you feel like you have any experiences with family or grandparents? Did you start?
I think, yeah, definitely being a kid, it feels like, I'm not sure how boys are treated, but it does kind of feel like your body is just free game to be commented on, like, no matter what. So definitely that was, like, that's where a lot of insecurities stem, is just from adults, like, commenting on how you look, or even in a positive light, too. And then, like DJ Coco was saying, the absence of that is, you really are trying to strive to, like, always get that validation.
And it kind of stems into dopamine as well. We just want that hit. You just want it continually, and then when you don't have it, it feels hollow.
But even when you have it, for me, it feels hollow. I just, I'm like socialized to want it, I guess. But with my family, not so much. It's just, I think, just having the confidence in my own thoughts or opinions, I just don't really have.
And I see that too.
Yeah, I put a lot of emphasis on how I look. And there's so many different things I could talk about, like, yeah, catering to men's feelings. I do a lot, that goes for everyone, not just men. I'll cater to people's feelings a lot, but especially to men, even like when they don't deserve it and when they're actually,
what do you mean by that?
Like, if they're being crappy to me and treating me badly, I'm still
gonna still try to,
like, I don't want them to feel bad necessarily. And I've been feeling like that less and less. That was more when I was younger, but it's still like, I don't want anyone to hate me, you know. It's kind of like that thing. Yeah,
that's definitely being, I feel like that's socialization, very prime example too, of just wanting to be pleasant to everyone and nurturing and empathetic and
all those traits. Make anyone mad.
Don't make anyone mad. But then the men, it doesn't matter because they can say whatever they want, they can be confident.
And if you make a woman mad too, it's kind of like, oh, what is she gonna do about it? But as a woman, when you make a man mad, there is some sense of like, how is he going to, for me, it might be extreme, and this, I don't know, but it's like, how is he gonna attack me in some way, like verbally or like, not physically, but in some situations, depending on the situation, it could be physically as well, if you're rejecting somebody or doing something to make a man not like you.
Yeah, so you gotta put yourself down to minimize the situation.
Yeah. How about you?
For me, I personally don't cater to men's feelings because I haven't been surrounded by many men in my life, nor have I had many guy friends. Honestly, I think I have about one guy friend and he's really chill, but I never felt that particularly, but I feel like as I go more into university and more into the real world, I will definitely experience more interactions with men, and so that's something that I will have to be aware of, and I feel like I will probably be doing the same thing as you, especially with trying to minimize the situation. And
I just don't want, in general, I don't want anyone to feel bad.
Yeah, but the thing
there's a certain limit.
Yeah, the thing is, we're changing that now.
Yeah,
definitely. We say what we want to say, and we're confident with it, and so that's something.
DJ Coco is hitting the table with every word
at the table.
Now.
So that's something that I'd like to work on, I think we'd both like to work on, is being more confident in our thoughts and ideas and not trying to cater to anyone's feelings, but it's not being unempathetic, but it's that we are strong in what we believe in and that we don't necessarily want other people's opinions to interfere with the strength behind our conversation or strength behind our thoughts.
Yeah, we're not going to compromise how we feel just for somebody else.
So, here's our transformation on air.
Yeah, definitely. But with the radio.
The radio really helped a lot.
Yeah, and this whole conversation is stemming from something that our programming coordinator was talking to us when we did a little talk about our show. And
I feel empowered. Even just being in radio, I feel like we both joined the radio station together here. Just a little backup, because we've been at CJSF for about less than a year. It's been less than a year, but we're coming up to fall again.
September, October will be around a year.
Yeah, but we started last October. And honestly, initially, I didn't feel like I was good enough or that I had enough to speak about for the radio. And now just sitting here and having our own show specifically just makes me feel great. Like, why didn't we do this before? Why was I so scared?
And there's finally like a place where people are going to listen. And obviously you can choose if you want to listen to us or not. But there still is that sense of, well, maybe my voice has some sort of place. Because a lot of times, like in the real world, it kind of feels like, oh, just, you know what, I'm not going to say anything.
Don't want to make people feel bad.
I don't want to regret, I don't know enough about it, or they might think I'm stupid, something like that. But here it's just,
we get to do anything we want.
We get to talk about whatever we want.
And maybe, you have to listen.
Yeah,
you have to listen. Well, you can tune away, but I'm telling you, we have great conversations. We're not afraid to say.
Every Tuesdays at 6 p.m., guys.
Promo. But
yeah. This whole thing is just a promo.
Oh, yeah, just entire promo for our show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, even just being in radio, I know that the radio is very male-dominated industry. So by having two women speak about issues like this is great for representation.
Mm-hmm. And especially young women, I feel like, as we... Mm-hmm. I'm 20. Yeah, we're both 20. That's not a voice you hear a lot about, I think, in general, or that isn't given a lot of credit, at least.
Yeah, so thank you, Community Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Community Radio. Thank you, CJSF.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you listening there.
Yeah, we're doing a little award speech right now.
Yeah, I
Thanks,
know.
Mom.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad, for listening. He'll probably be listening later on. So,
thanks, DJ Hi, Dad. Coco's Dad.
Yeah. As we haven't been doing this for a couple months now, but and just a stat for if you want to hear about the stat for radio being a male-dominated industry, because the actual top 100 radio show hosts, only 12 out of the 100 are women. And for all the top podcasts, 79% are men.
Yeah.
So
it is just a reflection of...
Yeah, some research to back off.
Our society, because everything is kind of male-dominated when you think about the movie industry or the music industry, any kind of these entertainment industries that is a reflection of our culture, they're all going to be super male-dominated. Because that is what our culture is.
So,
it is nice to have a little space and a voice.
Yeah.
Put it out there.
It is definitely more confident, more assertive place of putting our voices out there, which, yeah, we've both been kind of conditioned to minimize, don't say much, don't sound stupid, things like that. But we can go off and say whatever we want, and it's great.
Exactly.
Honestly, great. But... yeah, so other things that we can do and that you out there, if you'd like to more as a woman, particularly... As a man, too. This is just general confidence. I want to be more confident in my answers. I'm done with saying I don't know at the end of my
I think I've even been doing that this episode, too, but I...
Yeah, me too.
It's good to start this habit as soon as you can to... actively think about avoiding these kinds of phrases.
And giggling. Mm-hmm. It just undermines our answers, I feel. And that we did do a lot of giggling before, and it's still not necessarily bad, but we want to be more confident in our answers and what we're trying to say. So expect a little less giggling in the future, but we're still having fun.
We're not going to stop laughing.
Oh, yeah, no.
Definitely not recommending.
No, we're gonna.
This is the solution.
Yeah, the slumber party is getting a little bit more serious, but not always. We have good days, bad days.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I don't know, we're coming to the end, very close to the end of our show.
Yeah, we didn't get through many of our songs that we wanted to play, but that's okay. We had lots to talk about
today. Yeah, we knew this was going to be a bit of a longer episode because... Yeah.
We're pretty passionate about
this topic. We're passionate about it. We could talk about it for a long time. Very much we went through a lot of general ideas.
Mm-hmm.
In the future we want to dive into it a bit more.
We're ending off because I'm ending school in about a week and Stella's at the station more, so we're gonna have some pretty serious...
Exposed me.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
DJ Star.
Yeah, DJ Star.
Yeah, is at the station more, and so next couple of weeks we might have some pretty good topics, even better than today.
Yeah.
So come back.
Get ready, guys.
Yeah, come back
it's
in
coming.
A bit. But
next week or the week after, just tune in every time.
Yeah, we're always here. Mm-hmm. Always here. But I think we're going to be doing a little discussion on Kamala Harris, if you want, and our opinions about the Trump presidency and the campaigns and the whole U.S. politics situation in the next little while. Because that's something that we want to say something a little more about. But I think that's all we have for today, and that's all we'll tell you for later on. So thank you so much for being here.
Next up is Revolution Rock at 7 p.m. and then Bitcoover at 8 p.m. with our music director Connor.
So thank you so much for sticking around, and we hope you have a wonderful day today.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.